And we're back on the Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. We're tapping into the Brinker's Jewelers Hotline from Fieldhouse Files. Our good buddies Scott Agnes is here on WREF. Hey, Scott, really appreciate your time talking all things Fever, the Pacers as well, but the Fever with a crazy game last night, so we had to have you on after an 81-80 loss to the Wings. How you doing?
Well, doing just fine. Much better than the team did last night, certainly.
I guess so. I mean, look, on the one hand, they had their chances, especially at the end. But on the other hand, that is an 8-9 win Dallas Wings team. And sure, Paige Becker's back in the lineup. But even with the injury concerns that the Fever have faced over the last few weeks with Caitlin Clark and now Colson and McDonald out as well, feels like a game at home that they probably should have had. Why didn't they get this win?
Yeah, you're totally right on that. It's one you're going to look back on at the end of the season and potentially feel like that was a real missed opportunity because, as I highlighted at the start of this week, even though, while it's troubling and concerning, right, that you lose your other two guards, but to season-ending injuries, you got to figure it out on the fly. And they did that well against the Chicago team, who they've solved and been able to dominate all season long. But against Dallas, you could just feel the lack of leadership, the lack of organization, the lack of a point guard directly impacted this team offensively. And then it spilled into defense where I thought some of the issues that we saw in the end of their road trip out west last week reappeared, meaning we saw their point of attack defense awful. You know, whatever the Wings wanted to do, they would attack the paint. Defense would get behind and they'd foul. I think there was like five or six straight possessions, Brad, where they fouled. They just couldn't defend without fouling for a sequence there.
Yeah.
And then they had a brutal start to the game, both with turnovers, Lexi Holland foul trouble, a brutal start to the third quarter. So all game long, you're climbing uphill to the point where even late in the game, they got like three shots at it to go ahead, miss those opportunities, just like they missed that game.
I feel like a game like this is probably a bright flashing neon sign showing the Fever fans, and myself included, what McDonald and Colson as well really meant to this team, and especially now with Caitlin Clark out. And so I asked you this question amid Caitlin Clark going down with her re-aggravated groin injury really in the second half of this season, but I'll ask you this about the other two that went down for the season in Colson and McDonald. Where do the Fever go from here? Because the trade deadline is coming gone, not that that's a massive player in a WNBA season anyway, but now with these two out, what did they mean to the team, and what does it mean to the team to not have them?
Yeah, they were significant, especially because they were your two primary ball handlers in the meantime with Clark being out. And I think Sidney Colson's leadership cannot be understated here as well. I saw many times last night both her and McDonald on courtside and on the bench in crutches. But during timeouts, she would come over and talk with several individuals, usually the ball handlers. And oftentimes it was Odyssey Sims who the Fever elected to sign here on a 7-day hardship contract over the weekend to try to help fill the void. But I thought her minutes, I thought, were a little high, played about 13 minutes for a player who just got here and got one player under a belt, one practice under a belt. And I thought they were just iffy during that stretch. And then Lexi Hall getting in foul trouble 3 minutes into the game didn't help. And then in the third quarter, you had a stretch where both Hall and Cunningham were on the bench, and I think you really need at least one of those players, maybe both, out there to bring that hustle. They're kind of the glue parts of this team. While Kelsey Mitchell's the leading scorer in the league in terms of total points, those two, you know, they're chasing after rebounds, they're setting hard screens, they're diving after loose balls and those sort of things. So I think what we saw in the win in Chicago and where this team was at against the Wings, I think the reality is the Fever are somewhere in between. And that's the other thing to keep in mind here. This is a franchise that has lost one of the best players in the league so far and limited to just 13 games, then lost their second string and third string point guard. So you do need to lower expectations a little bit. That said, the turnovers and some of the point of attack defense, I expect that no matter who's out there, that needs to drastically improve.
You mentioned Odyssey Sims, and with this team, at least for now, on a temporary basis, Yesterday was not really a fair barometer for her because one practice thrown into the fire, 12, 13 minutes, she goes 0 for 4 from the field. What is a fair expectation of Odyssey Sims, at least for the next few games, as the Fever try to patch these holes that I think a lot of people around the league might see as almost unpatchable without Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, the reality is, too, here that I keep in mind is this reminds me of the Colts 20 years ago.
Huh.
When Peyton was out, what are we doing talking about backup quarterback?
Sure.
It doesn't matter. You're not making the Super Bowl, right? You see, see what I'm getting at there?
Yeah.
Without Caitlin, you still, I don't think, have those championship possibilities because she takes them to a whole nother level. Now to stem the tide, which is the hope, to keep them in the playoffs, for her to ideally return here in the next couple of weeks, that's what you're chasing after right now. For Sims, I think right now you're trying to use her in an emergency-type situation. If you use her about 8 to 10 minutes per game, I think that's probably ideal. You're utilizing Sophie Cunningham, Kelsey Mitchell as primary ball responsibility players. And the good news, again, should be that this is a lighter schedule for the next week. Then next week, I think they have 4 days between games where you can both rest, get healthier, and also really then install some more packages for Odyssey Sims and adapt a little bit better. We saw them utilize a lot of zone in these last two games as well, and that's something they're going to have to continue to tweak and decide when to utilize it and when maybe is too much.
Scott Agnes here on WREF, the Brinker's Jewelers phone line. Brinker's Jewelers can be found on the corner of Green River Road and the Lawn Expressway in Evansville tradition since 1972. That little green box from Brinker's Jewelers. Also find them online at brinkersjewelers.com. Scott from Fieldhouse Files knows everything there is to know about the Pacers and the Fever. The Fever with a disappointing 81-80 loss at home against the Wings and one of the lesser teams in the WNBA, of course, without Caitlin Clark for the now 11th straight game, and also Sidney Colson and Ari McDonald on the sideline for the rest of the year. So now this team is facing some real injury concerns. And like you said about Odyssey Sims, kind of that analogy to the Colts with Manning out, and you really want to talk that much about backup quarterbacks, there's a real ceiling without the star player, and in this case, it's Caitlin Clark. Would you put Lexia Hull in that category? I think that she is massively important right now, kind of thrown into the fire as a starter with Clark out and the rest of the injuries as well, Colson, McDonald, and she really flashed over the weekend against the Sky with the 17 points and really took a step back. You mentioned the foul trouble yesterday. How important is Lexi Hull to what the Fever are doing as they wait for Caitlin Clark to come back?
Yeah, she's one of the core pieces with or without Clark here. And the other thing I guess I should clarify and point out here is in talking about Sims or whomever is handling the point guard, you're not just talking about, say, a backup quarterback. You're talking about the fourth string or fifth string that they are on now. This is a player who was not on any roster. They were able to sign her because she was a free agent. So it's even worse than the analogy kind of sets up here. But that's why it's just so important for everybody else, including and leading probably with Lexi Hull, to elevate her game. And I think she's done that over the last several games. It was nice to see her, like you said, break through and knock down those shots against the Chicago Sky that we have not seen her done over the last month. But she did so well and led the league in three-point percentage through the first month and a half or so of the season. That's a big reason why she was in the three-point contest. I think at that time she had ranked fourth in three-point shooting. But to me, it's not about her point total. To me, that is all bonus because it comes out of the play, the way in which they set her up. And usually it's her spraying out to the corner and being open when the defense collapses. She's a beneficiary of that setup. But what I love about what she does is she's like T.J. McConnell. You know exactly what she can do, and you know what you're going to get from her every single game. And right now, in a season of constant disruption, that's invaluable.
I like that. I like that analogy a lot, comparing her to T.J. McConnell. And she's certainly very important, as was McConnell, to what the Pacers did last year. Now, looking at the Fever, and of course they're shorthanded as they continue this run without Caitlin Clark, the real question is, how about Caitlin Clark, and when is she coming back? I know she's incorporated different movements on top of her running. Stephanie White didn't give a concrete timeline. Do you have a ballpark estimate as to when this is going to happen? Because I was talking about this earlier on in the week, just in a monologue on my own show, which is clock's kind of ticking. You got about a month left in the regular season. When Clark comes back, whenever she is ready, I'd imagine the Fever are going to want to ramp her in rather than throw her into the fire so they can avoid another re-aggravation, not to bring her back too soon before the postseason. So what is this timeline looking like? Because regardless of who's on the floor, this feels like the question for the Fever right now.
Yeah, and for good reason why. It's your star player.
Yeah.
It was the fourth. Your rookie last year finished fourth in MVP voting, so it's a absolutely justifiable conversation. The challenge in all that is there are no concrete answers because this is such a unique situation, starting off with the fact that before this season, Caitlin really had not experienced injuries and injuries to a point where it keeps you out of competition and that sort of thing. And so there is no timeline. There's no updated timeline. I thought the Fever did the right job after this injury of saying, we're going to take ample time to make sure she gets this right groin injury under control, it's healed, then we will bring her back. So there's been no change to the timeline. I know a lot of fans found some ESPN database that
yeah.
I didn't even know this thing existed, but it went from like game time decision to, you know what, ignore that. Until we tweeted out those are there on a daily basis, there has been no change in any return timeline or date set. So I wanted to make that clear because I've heard from several fans there. Now, with that said, I think the estimated outlook here is in a couple of weeks. That would be, I think, the earliest, Brad, that we will see here. But no exact timeline set because all to your point here is they want to slowly ramp her up as well because now there's even more considerations to it. Before, you were maybe most concerned about a minutes restriction. Well, now you're worried about getting her cardio back and being in game shape and being in game rhythm and going through a full practice, all of which she has not done in almost a month here. So those are all the factors and more that she, the training staff, her agents all have to have under consideration.
Fever still trying to tread water until Clark comes back, getting ready for the postseason. Regular season has about a month left in it. They play the Mystics on Friday at 6:30. That's Scott Agnes from Fieldhouse Files telling us everything we need to know about the Fever. He also has the latest on the Pacers, though this is Pacers offseason for Scott, so he's full-fledged Fever mode right now. Again, check him out on Fieldhouse Files. Scott, thank you so much again for your time, your insight. You're the man. Love to have you, and hopefully we can have you back on again soon.
Okay, sounds good, Brad. Thank you.
All right, with that, we take a step aside, but don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Ref's Call, driven by D. Patrick Nissan on WREF 97.7 FM. The Ref, always the right call.